if the British Empire and its Commonwealth last for 1,000 years, men will still say this was their finest hour.
We stand for Queen, Country, and Video Games. BRB UK. Worse teeth, better accents.
Hello, hello, and indeed ahoy, hoy, ladies and gents, and welcome to episode 335th of BRB UK. I'm Dan, I'm your host. Hello. It's been a funny old week. I've been preparing for post-democracy shenanigans that will doubtless follow through from Theresa May mishandling everything, and thankfully the Division 2's been out, so I have been trading up my survival skills.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm joined by Tim, and I'm joined by Coleman, and Tim just can't contain himself. What?
Yeah, I have a question. It's an emergency, Dan. Have you prepared your Brexit bunker?
My Brexit bunker?
Yeah.
No.
It's like a zombie plan.
Right.
But more real.
To be fair, you know, me digging a hole in the back garden, frankly, the amount of chaos that I'm expecting, digging a hole in the garden's not going to do anything. I've got a little tool shed I can hide in.
I don't know if you saw just before the show, it was unearthed apparently that the Ministry of Defence have opened their bunker for the in case of a no deal Brexit. So that's where we are right now, gentlemen.
It's all kicking off.
Yeah, 5 minutes to midnight.
If only Theresa May wasn't completely incompetent. I'll yeah. Wait.
And it's all right. She's the leader we don't deserve.
Well, she's the leader who thinks she knows best but hasn't taken the time to actually check with anybody if what she thinks she knows is best is actually best.
Well, there you go.
We're getting political.
We're off on a real high point.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, we are. Have you both been? How was your move, Coal Man?
Hi. Yeah, move. It happened. We did that. That was a
excellent
move. Yeah. Setting things up. Haven't moved anything out of Tim's place yet because I am going to go buy a desk first before
yeah.
I move stuff in. And yeah, my other half is going to freak, I think, because she doesn't realise just how much audio equipment I own.
Hey, have you managed to pee in the corner of a room to mark it's your den yet?
Of course yeah. I have. It's the first
good
thing you do.
It was actually, for me, it was quite tricky negotiating the man cave, I have to say.
Yeah, we're pretty geeky people together, so we can kind of spread the stuff out. So, yeah, no need for a man cave in this one.
Yeah, you see, well, I do work from home one day a week, so I can claim I need an office, which was how my in, and then it's gradually expanded to a den.
I've done that in previous places, but I don't have the luxury of working from home anymore because I work with very secure properties, we shall say.
Like number 10 Downing Street.
Yes, that's it. I'm negotiating Brexit.
Yeah, that's why we're in trouble.
That's why I don't tell anyone what I do.
Have you and Theresa May ever been seen in the same room together?
Of course we have.
Right.
Do you reckon it's just Coleman in a wig?
Yeah, it could be.
Strong and stable. Tim's sick, so he's got sexy cold voice, which is...
Tim, well, how sexy come you got sick, mate?
I don't know. You're the doctor.
Well, I don't follow you around, mate. I don't know what you've licked.
It's just a cold. I'm
what
not
have you licked?
Dying.
Have you been, Tim, have you been licking
lampposts
again?
I've been licking lampposts again, yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, it's a lovely lamppost.
You can do it even quicker when you're cycling.
Do you cycle now?
Yeah.
Bloody
yeah.
hell, far. What's going on with Tim here?
Cycling,
even
Tim.
Even cycling while having my cold, despite...
No, you're a brave
capacity
little soldier, you
got
are.
His, got his Lycra shorts on, exposing
oh,
his thighs
don't
to the world.
Tim, please tell me you have not
driving the ladies
of
wild.
I don't have Lycra shorts. I do have a pair of cycling trousers.
What, I mean, I'm sorry, what is the deal with it? I'm doing my Seinfeld routine again, Coleman. What is the deal with Lycra? What
What's
is
the
deal,
deal?
with Lycra shorts?
Don't know. Couldn't tell you.
Seriously. You know, most people who are cycling on the road to work, it's not like they need the extra split seconds that will be gained from aerodynamic optimism.
I think that they're used to stop chafing.
I do not need to see some dude. I do not need to see my office mates. For some reason, they decide to wander around the office in it first and go, "Oh, yeah, me, pro cycler, look at me. Here's my junk."
Thing is, Dan, heavy set fellows such as myself who try to get exercise and lose weight, they don't like the feeling of their inner thighs rubbing together, and then they definitely don't like the feeling of getting home and seeing the red rawness of It's not a nice visual image, and it's not a nice feeling.
Shall we move on?
Yeah, well, might as well.
So, talking of preferable visual images, Google.
Welcome to the world of tomorrow.
Well, Google have announced Stadia, which is their online streaming service. And for want of a better way to put it, it kind of sounds like PlayStation Now's steroids.
Yeah.
And now, if a company was ever going to get the distributed hardware, running the game remotely and streaming it to your system, malarkey, done right, arguably Google has not only the financial but the technological clout behind it to actually make this a thing that is playable.
They can make the supercar and the road that it rides on.
Yes, that. So yeah, it sounds like they're really, really getting behind this. I mean, Phil Harrison, he previously of Sony, is the guy heading up Google Stadia efforts, and they went on stage from GDC this week. Did you guys manage to catch the
Yes, I did watch it. Is it just me? Did Phil Harrison not also then go on to have an unsuccessful period at was it Microsoft and then Atari and then somewhere else?
To be fair, a lot of people have had an unsuccessful period at Atari.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, I just found it interesting hooking up with him. But yeah, like, I thought it was kind of what we predicted, but still interesting, and still, it was a bit more of showing the technology than showing a few technical demos rather than, you know, they did show a couple of games, but really, like, here's a couple of examples, not here's a lineup of games that will be on the platform.
Yeah, this was a GDC conference for game developers.
yes. Hence not much normal person detail.
I was hoping you could actually break down what Google Stadia is in a...
Me?
Yeah, because
Yes.
Yes.
Well, you got this amazing thing called Electric Trickery is where it all starts. Electric Trickery. And then what you do is that thing where you rub two balloons together. And then sometimes you get a little spark. Ooh, that's electric trickery.
Ah,
basically, you put two balloons
games
inside your computer and games happen. That's how it works.
Good.
Lovely.
Yeah, good. No, but what it is, it's essentially Google Stadia is there's not a hardware device per se. You can buy a controller, which is Google's own custom controller with all the goodness of Stadia kind of baked into it. We'll come onto that in a tick.
And it's another internet-connected device with a microphone in it from Google.
Yeah, I know, right? At least they're telling you about this one.
It's okay. They put it next to a Konami code on the back of the controller.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's
I
not
was
evil.
Like, ah, damn it, Google. I kind of appreciate what you did there.
Was it just me? Loads of people praise them for that. I thought that was a little bit cringy.
I think it's done to death by now.
I think it's done to death. I don't know if they asked Konami permission to do it. Anyway, we're getting what we call in the biz sidetracked, Timothy. So.
It was just the hello, fellow gamers.
Yes.
How do you do, fellow students?
We know what you like. So all you need is a computer that will turn on and can run a modern browser.
I've got one of those.
Is essentially all you need, or a phone. There we go. You have a phone
or a
tablet.
One of those.
Of the has a screen on it, not the paracetamol variety. Tim,
wow.
Pipe up.
There was some speculation that you'd need like a Chromecast type device or something that could run that.
Only if you want to connect it to a TV.
To a TV. But weren't they saying that the pad itself connects directly to the...
All right, let's stop going back to the pad. Let's talk about pads. Let's talk about the pads. All right, so before we get into the actual what the system is, the thing that is kind of what the only bit of hardware they were able to show off was their gamepad. And you think, oh, great, gamepad, fantastic. What's so new and unique about that? Now, it's a wireless pad, but it rather than connecting to the device you're having Google Stadia stream to, it actually connects directly to your Wi-Fi router. Now, what is the excitement about that, I hear you ask?
Well, what is the excitement about that?
I'm glad you asked, Coleman.
Well asked, Coleman.
It's basically, it eliminates probably another couple of milliseconds of lag. So at the moment, let's say you had a wireless PS4 controller connected to your PS4, which was streaming PS Now titles. You've got the delay in the wireless communication between the pad and the PS4. Then you've got your PS4 to PlayStation now and then back again. So by having it, the controller connect directly to your Wi-Fi, it completely bypasses all of that.
They also showed off that gave them the ability to switch instantly between different screens and pick up the same point in the game as well.
Was that on Assassin's Creed?
Yes. Yeah.
That was technically not picking up. It was simultaneous versions of it running.
Oh, okay.
As far as I could tell. But it is something that they kind of are touting, that you can just pick up where you left off on any device. I'm sure many of you are thinking, okay, well, it's so good, so far, so familiar. It sounds a bit like PlayStation Now and OnLive. But, I mean, I think the main thing is that Google's communications infrastructure and compute infrastructure is frankly insane. So for every instance of Stadia, so when you connect to Stadia and request play a game, it kind of spins up a virtual machine for you. And those virtual machines have allocated to them, like, more power than an Xbox One X and a PS4 combined.
Combined!
That's addition, mofos.
The future.
So, you know, and the great thing is that as they upgrade their data centers, the computing resources available to the end user will get bigger and better. So there's no kind of, there's going to be, on Stadia's platform, there's not necessarily going to be like the big generational leaps. And you know, Google's not exactly short of cash, let's face it. And well, it uses that same compute infrastructure for all of its business applications, which many people around the world use. So, you know, it's a robust, stable system linked by large amounts of fiber optic cable that goes under the sea. Slightly waiting for Calm to burst out somewhere. There we go. And, you know, essentially they've got everything they need for a low latency connection, because that is the main thing that all of these streaming services in terms of game streaming live and die by, is if you can get the latency down, then you will have an enjoyable experience that will not feel too different than if you're actually running a copy of the game on your home computer. So basically Google's got a massive worldwide network of big data centers, which then have little satellite data centers in each country of the world, pretty much, and it's those you'll be connected to.
TLDR,
you'll get a machine that's close to you. They'll do everything they can to get the closest instance of a Stadia running to you. So basically they're throwing powerful hardware at it, and the kind of the USP that they're going for is that you're going to be able to, let's say you're watching a trailer of a game, go, oh, I wonder what that's like. You'll be able to click a button on YouTube and just launch an instance of that game within 5 seconds.
Yeah, and that also, I mean, we're showing the connectivity of, say, Google platforms like YouTube, and looking, and much like the trailer thing, you could be watching a Let's Play, you could be watching Game Grumps or someone, and go, oh, I like this game they're playing. Oh, yeah, bang, straight on that. I really like that
Boom,
idea.
Bottom of Avatar shoe, amazing. but it's also, what's quite incredible about it as well is that you're not going to have to be responsible for, if you want to stream your game, rather than you have to capture your screen and then share it back out, or use kind of the resources on your PC or your PlayStation or your Xbox to stream. What Stadia set up to do, it just automatically will ping a live feed of it to YouTube, and you don't need to do any other setup. All you need to do is press the share button.
Yeah.
And the other cool thing is is that you can kind of set challenges for people. So let's say you did something that you thought was really amazing, you thought no one else in the world would be able to do. You can essentially use the save state of that machine, post that publicly, and challenge people to beat your time. So let's say you had a very particular kind of loadout on a character in a game. You would be able to kind of pause that instance of where you are in the game with all the stuff that your character's got equipped and share that, and anybody would be able just to load up at that instance and try and change your time.
And I could see that being a function that literally changes the way that someone designs a game around that mechanic.
Yeah, and I'm sure there's several cool things that can be done with it.
And again, the entertainment purposes of that, where you've got, say, a YouTuber that's streaming a game and they're struggling on a boss and the comments are full up with, oh, you're noob, you don't play games.
Playing
oh, you
should novice let someone, mode.
You're playing it on novice mode, like all this stuff. You could go, well, go on then, you have a go.
Yeah, exactly. And the other thing is as well, if you're streaming, what one of the functions it will enable for people who stream via YouTube, surprise, surprise, probably won't be offered through any other platform, is that if your viewers want to play with you, at the moment, you know, you have to kind of open a lobby, hope people join, you know, you need to share your ID and everything like that, and expose your the IP address of your home, essentially, which is probably not ideal. Now people will just be able to join a queue online, and as people come and go and leave, you know, the next person will be given the opportunity to join up. And one of the other really interesting things is because all of these machines, all these virtual machines, exist within Google's infrastructure, so they all connect to each other inside of Google, which means you're never at risk of your IP address becoming revealed. So like in a game like Destiny, for example, one of the major issues that Destiny has is its peer-to-peer networking system, which basically means all the machines in an instance of the game are constantly talking to one another. And you can have a bit of software if you're on your router or your PC that will show you the IP addresses of all the people you are playing with. And if you are nefarious, allow you to essentially do a denial of service attack on that person's IP if they're
yeah.
And that happens quite a lot with streamers, actually. And this particular aspect of Stadia means that that whole risk is completely bypassed. I think it's potentially very, very exciting. They've got engine developers on board in terms of Epic's Unreal Engine and also Unity as well, and other physics middleware solutions like Havok, where I think there was a not very thinly veiled swipe at Crackdown 3's Power of the Cloud demo.
It was rushed out.
All of 4 years it was rushed out in.
Yeah.
And, you know, where essentially they can run like a mega server that everyone has an instance that connects to. And because all of the data sits within one system, you truly can have completely synchronized massive game worlds without needing to worry about things syncing up between clients, because just all of that's dealt with. So you could have that Power of the Cloud nonsense that Microsoft are banging on about, with truly destructible environments that everybody sees. If it works, I mean, they're talking some big words, don't get me wrong. They're talking some massive, they're really bigging this up. And if it delivers, like they say it's going to, then this could be quite transformative, I think.
Well, the general talk around the people that demoed Assassin's Creed Odyssey on it was saying that it was very impressive.
So. Yeah.
But that is a highly controlled environment where I doubt, much like the PlayStation Now demos were, you were probably connecting to a system that was about 15 meters away rather than 15 kilometers or 15 miles or 150 miles away.
The thing I'm more excited about this is if I've got this right, this could mean an end for us having to control patches on our own side. So
indeed.
If you're playing...
That's the really attractive thing.
Yeah, that is very attractive. I mean, how many times have we played an online game and you've got the one person in the group going, hold on, I'm still waiting for the patch to install. I'm downloading the update. You know, we've gone around through a bit of techno trickery over
that
the years.
That was an underhand dig at the good folk of Yorkshire there.
it's fine. I'm related to most of them.
As are they.
We've kind of gone around this... this time of, oh, if you haven't got the latest DLC, then you can't play with that person.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've worked our way around this by kind of essentially patching in something that says you've got that DLC, but you can't use that DLC. And now, like, all that is gone. It could, you know, it's basically a controlled update. It's like Google or our IT service, and we're the rest of the company.
But it's also generally been the one major technical blight on this generation of consoles, is like install times and downloads and patches and updates and all that type of stuff.
Mm.
And just cutting into, like, when you've got like an hour to play and you spend, you know, 40 minutes installing and updating things, and you're like, well, thanks, you know, like, and I think you know, that's something that affects a lot of the casual market as much or more than it affects people like us that tend to keep our stuff updated and playing stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, all of us are lucky enough to have reasonably fast internet connections as well.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah. 300 megabit, mate. It's what I've got. You'd never look back.
But I have two questions for you, gentlemen.
Yes.
What do you think of the name?
I it smacks of marketing hive mindness, but I think it's a reasonable name.
I'm fine with it, but I've got a suggestion.
Right.
Do you remember like the days of Xbox Arcade?
Mm-hmm.
If they kind of go
Stadia
that
Stadia Arcade.
Yeah, I want Stadia Arcadia. You know? I want the Stadia Arcadia program.
Yeah, I mean, well, it seemed to get some derision when it was first announced, but I don't think it's too bad.
It's okay. I think they've called it Stadia. It's because everyone can watch you compete. That's probably
it's
where
all the stadiums.
Yeah, it's probably because someone from marketing had something to do with that, without a shadow of a doubt.
I mean, doesn't someone from marketing have something to do with every name?
Yeah, everything.
All names are made up,
apart from Xbox One. That was all Mr. Flappy Head.
Even Mrs. Coleman considered the marketing possibilities of Chris Coleman.
Yeah.
So I mean, I think the obvious couple of elephants. Sorry, Tim, before I blather on, you had another question, mate.
The one, you know, big elephant in the room, and the thing they didn't talk about.
Ooh. Dumbo.
Dumbo, definitely.
Coming soon.
I didn't say flying elephant. No, just price and pricing structure and how it will work. Like, it seemed to be a subscription-based service. So for what they're offering, and assuming they have a reasonable selection of games on offer,
which is another big unknown.
Exactly. But assuming those two things, what would you two be comfortable paying?
It depends what they bundle with it, because they've tried to force... I don't know about you, Colin, but whenever I go onto YouTube these days, it tries to force-feed me some premium YouTube nonsense.
I am a subscriber to premium YouTube nonsense.
Yes.
For reasons I have explained on the show.
Yes. I mean, I do wonder if it's going to be kind of like where all of that gets bundled in. And, you know, I would imagine it's going to be... I kind of expect the business model to be not dissimilar to what EA do with Origin. I mean, obviously the key difference is you don't have any of the games locally stored. All of it's on Google servers, whereas with Origin you download the games. I get that difference. But there, I wouldn't be surprised if they had a tiered subscription service, which will either be time-based or, and not as in a month, obviously you can play it for a month, but whether or not it's like the number of hours of time you can play in a month, whether or not they go that route, or whether or not different size of libraries of games open up to you. Or whether or not it's that, whether or not it adjusts streaming quality, because what they're saying is that you're going to be able to play everything at launch in 4K at a rock solid 60 frames a second. Scale eventually up to 8K and 120. Obviously, you need a 4K TV and the requisite internet speeds. But I think if you've got a 30 meg or above connection, you should be all right.
I think with the case of... I think subscription is what everyone is leading towards in their hopes and dreams. But there has been mention of a store in some form. Yeah. So I'm wondering if we get a subscription option that, like you said, Dan, tiered subscriptions, basically, where you're kind of getting the subscription option to play this set amount of games. And then if you want like the latest game, then you're paying outright the £50 or whatever it is for that game, which if it was a if this was truly the Netflix of games and everything on offer, you know, you could play the latest games and you can be streaming it, I'd be happy spending £50 a month for that, because that's what I spend on a brand new game every month anyway. And if there are multiple games coming out, like we just had February with the ridiculous amount of releases in 1 month.
That's right. Most of them weren't very good.
You could breeze through that. Yeah, most of them weren't very good, but you get curious, you know?
It'd be good to be able to dip in and out of things and try what you want and then play the game you want and only pay for playing that game.
Exactly. Like Game Pass, I use Game Pass. I don't subscribe to it all the time, but when something comes
but
to Game
when
Pass...
I do. That,
yeah, well, when something comes to Game Pass, like an Xbox exclusive, like Crackdown or like Sea of Thieves... or Forza, then I dust off the subscription, I pay for that month, and then I play the game, and then I take it off for the next month, you know? So I'd be happy doing that. if Google covered more than Xbox exclusives, then yeah, I'd be totally happy paying the full price of a game each month, you know? Obviously, I want it to be like £5 a month if they're doing it.
I mean, on that note, I know it's not the same saying, hey, we're going to have Xbox off them, but they've gone front and centre with saying there will be cross-play for those titles that wish to enable it, and for presumably partner platforms that wish to enable the functionality. There will be cross-play available for the games being made available on Google Stadia.
Arcadia.
Labia.
Uh-oh.
Stadia, Labia, Arcadia.
Oh, dear.
Anyway, you don't know which labia I'm referring to. It's the one on the face, Timothy. Get your mind out the gutter.
We saw Assassin's Creed, which, by the way, new gaming platform, Ubisoft involved. Of course they are. We also saw, IDS confirms that the new Doom Eternal will be coming to Stadia.
It certainly is.
Dylan Cuthbert, who is the Star Fox developer, he said he's working on a game for Stadia, and they've started a new first-party studio as well.
They most certainly have.
Yeah, which is led by Jade Raymond.
Yeah.
Previously of Ubisoft, wasn't she?
Yes.
Yes.
And then a failed EA Star Wars project. No?
Well, to be fair, I think it's everyone these days,
but yeah. Pretty much everyone in the industry has worked on a failed...
I've worked on a failed EA Star Wars project.
I'm sure I have at some point as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Some of them were released. I could see this going one of... two ways. I would not be at all surprised.
It's either going to succeed or it's going to fail. Two ways.
No, but literally, I wouldn't be at all surprised if this is the dominant platform in a couple of years, especially with the hookup with like YouTube and going on the streaming side. Be interesting to see what Twitch might do in response and who they might partner with for a similar sort of thing, possibly. But yeah, like I could also equally like seeing Google, like headlines of Google quits out in 2 to 3 years. Let's go with Jade Raymond and...
Well, all I will say, and I have to be purposefully evasive about this. In the next week or so, be prepared for another large tech company to enter a very similar arena.
Ooh, the Atari console. Oh, no, wait, that got pushed back, sorry.
I would love to tell you guys more, but I really cannot.
That's okay.
Seriously, 25th of March.
Okay.
That is the day in which what I am prophesying from the mount will come to pass.
Okay.
Good.
I shall have two fish and a glass of wine. I make the most disgusting fish au vin that you've ever seen.
I'm lucky to work in quite a large building with a lot of people that are either gamers or casual game, like people that play 2 to 4 games a year, or people that like buy every game like me and like to chat about it, and then some people that very rarely do any gaming at all. And the kind of consensus that I'm getting is the casual gamer is streaming PC games. Is that what this is? We've got that. It's called Steam, isn't it? They just don't understand what this is. The casual market is more, I don't think I got the PC or the internet speed to run that. And then the sort of hardcore gamers are like, yeah.
Well, ironically, I think the platform that's most under threat from this is probably the PC.
Yeah.
Because, you know, hardware upgrades are getting more and more expensive to do. And, you know, this will be a great way to have, a bit like Nvidia have been trying to do with GeForce Now, get the latest technology right at the fingertips without having to do anything to your system.
Cryptocurrency mining didn't really help prices.
Yeah. No, yeah. No, indeed not. And one of the platforms that will really struggle to get into, or one of the kind of the avenues that really struggle to get into, and I hate to invoke Tim when I say these two letters, but VR, because you've got to have absolutely lowest latency you possibly can, and even a couple of milliseconds that you might not notice if you're playing a controller-based game, you will definitely notice when you're moving your head around and you'll start throwing up all over the place.
Playing Beat Saber and then chundering every fifth beat.
Yep. So yeah, but I think it's exciting times, and I think this is the first time I'm usually very, very skeptical about these, but Google really seemed, I mean, obviously I know it was essentially a glorified marketing presentation, what they showed at GDC, but they really do seem to have their ducks in a row and really have thought about the best way to deploy this. And by God, they'll have the infrastructure for it.
They said that we're going to hear more in the summer. There's a big video games conference of some sort in the summer, so we don't know if it's part of that or if they're going to go off and do their own thing.
Is it you're a gamer?
Sure, why not?
Yeah, I'm the best.
Yeah. E3's got some space on stage and on the floor, so we don't know if it's going to be part of that. It seems... we don't know what's going on. But yeah, Google might do something with that. They might do something on their own, but we should hear more about the actual game lineup in the summer. They just put out some grey icons of...
Yeah, and Microsoft has already been sort of... kind of blustering about the fact that they'll be making... some big waves in E3 with in response to Stadia, saying that they'll be making similar sort of announcements, or I don't know, but yeah, we'll see what they're saying at E3 as well.
Because they were at GDC and they did say, they confirmed the Game Pass on the mobile platforms and things. Nothing to say about Nintendo at this time. Said they were not adverse to offering it out to PlayStation, but yeah, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to see what's going to happen this E3, especially as PlayStation's not there. EA said they've completely pulled out of presentations this year. They're just going with some actual streams.
Streams.
But yeah. But also, Nintendo was there.
Say what?
Yeah, and interestingly...
Did they mislay their treehouse?
They did not. Well, the treehouse is E3 once again, Dan. Nintendo...
Was this at GDC? I thought this was just an Indies.
No, this was their GDC Nindies showcase, which confused me because I thought they dropped the Nindies title.
I thought they did as well.
Apparently, there's Nintendo games, there's indie games, and there's Nindie games. So we now have three categories of games.
Good.
There we go. But they did give us a lineup of 18 games that are expected to come out or have come out already.
Fun fact, that's one more than 17.
Yeah, and the first one was interesting because it was Cuphead coming out on the 18th of April, which is a Microsoft game.
Cuphead plus a highly throwable and expensive system is not a great combo.
Yeah, we've spoken about this before. Like, me and Tim haven't played the finished product, but when we went to go play Cuphead, we both found it incredibly difficult to play.
Yeah,
it's a hard game.
There's going to be a lot of broken switches. Someone from Nintendo Repair Centers is going to make a lot of money fairly soon.
It tempts me every time I see it in action, though, because it looks beautiful.
Oh, yeah, it looks beautiful. And I was really looking forward to Cuphead until I played Cuphead and went, nope, can't do this. But I don't know. Yeah, Switch, maybe. I don't know. Overland is coming at the fall of 2019. My Friend Pedro, which is that awesome, weird stunt shooting.
Yeah, Devolver Digital one, isn't
thing
it?
When your friend's a banana. And yeah, it was
that
under
really fun.
Yeah, it was under the Devolver
Digital. You say friends of bananas like it's a weird thing.
It was on the Devolver Digital presentation. Thing E3 last year. It looks amazing. I like the idea that you can shoot someone while riding a skateboard and then dunk the skateboard in a basketball hoop and hang onto the hoop and shoot people on the way down. It just looks insane.
Also bananas.
Yeah, June 2019. Neo Cab is coming summer of 2019. Red Lantern some point this year.
Lantern, yeah, that looks... I don't know if that's going to be good, but it looked interesting. Do you
that's
see what that
was? Where you get the red ring and is fueled by hate?
No.
Is that right?
I don't think so.
Was it hate or violence?
No, you're describing the original launch Xbox 360 there.
Ah, okay.
Yes. No, Red Lantern was the one with the husky, is it? Well, it's a husky,
I
want to
hear Tom's husky
basically.
Impersonation again. There we go.
Yeah,
a
husky dog sled thing. Yeah, it looked interesting. One I'm going to keep an eye on anyway.
2019 sometime. Darkwood is coming out in May.
Yeah, well, I'm glad they're not all coming out in summer.
Yes.
Because they need some games before that.
Katana Zero is coming out on the 18th of April.
That'll be cool. I'm going to check that out.
Rad is Double Fine's new title coming out summer.
Didn't look that interesting until they started, morphing into, other sort of creatures and stuff. But, yeah, had a kind of, retro aesthetic to it and stuff. yeah, could be interesting. And yeah, Double Fine generally make good games, no? I didn't say great games, I said good games.
Jury's out since that Kickstarter game wasn't very good.
I would say they used to.
We're a long cry away from Brutal Legend, and even that's got its faults. Creature in the Well is coming out in the summer also. That's interesting. Blood Roots is coming out summer. Pine is coming out August 2019.
Pine was the only thing in the whole lineup I thought, well, that looks a bit pants. Yeah. Did not look that interesting.
Super Crate Box. So we got a couple of announcements from Vlambeer. Super Crate Box is their new title coming out April 2019. Nuclear Throne is one of their old titles that's been out on PC for about 2 years now.
I'm tempted, but again, that's a hard game.
It's
I like
a
it.
Very hard, it's hard game.
Yeah.
I've got it on PC if you want to try it before making a decision on that one. That's out now. Vlambeer Arcade is going to be a new games portal launching sometime this year.
Yeah, that sounded really cool.
Yeah, that's where they're adding little games. I mean, their games are quite small and friendly as they are, but they're going to make smaller. They're going to make PlayStation minis. But for Vlambeer,
remember those? It was a simpler time, wasn't it?
Yeah, and the first game to come out for that will be Ultra Bugs, which looks like a bullet hell nightmare. Swim Sanity will be out in the summer. Blaster Master Zero 2 is out now.
I'd never played the first one, did you?
Neither did I.
It looked cool, but it looked a bit dated for my taste, possibly, but I don't know.
Stranger Things 3, the game, is out on the 4th of July.
That looked like a proper... this reminded me of a game that I loved when I was younger and hardly anyone else remembers. Escape from the Planet of Robot Monsters.
I have never played it on the
Amiga back in the day.
You're talking crazy again, Tim.
Okay.
Wow.
Well, it was an isometric kind of, old school...
Escape from Planet Robot Monsters.
Stranger Things 3, this looked very similar.
Okay.
Coming out 4th of July, same time as the new series.
Yeah, same style as the previous two games.
Actually, I remember that? I might remember that.
It was a really cool little co-op isometric... brawler, basically. This is kind of reminded me of that. It seemed to have some simple brawling and some puzzles. And yeah,
it was originally an arcade game, I think.
Yeah, possibly. But yeah, as I said, I played it, I think, on the Amiga. Maybe the Atari. It might be in my friend's Atari rather than my Amiga. But one of the two back in the day.
Good.
It was good. But yeah, as I said, Stranger Things 3 reminded me of that. So that made me even more interested to play that.
And then the last one coming out in the spring of 2019, which is a bit of a surprise for all, it's called Cadence of Hyrule. It's
one for you, Coleman.
Yeah, it's an indie... it's an indie game with the Zelda license, and it's a Zelda rhythm game.
I think this looks good. Good
yes,
times.
Yes, I want this. I want this.
This is the game that you and I played at... was it EGX last year?
Yeah, but... It had nothing to do with Zelda.
Yes, it was the Crypt of the
Crypt of the Necro.
No, that's a different game.
Yeah, but this is the same developers.
Oh right, I didn't know that. That wasn't what we played. We played a completely different game on the same principles.
Oh okay.
Crypt of the Necro Dancer is you're moving and you're fighting in the same while you're on beat. What we were doing is I think we were, rather than being on a set path, we could move freely, but it all had to be on time of the beat.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Which was interesting. If I remember that name of that game ever, it would be a miracle.
but this is by the developers of the Crypt of the Necro Dancer.
Yeah.
So it's the same principle, just with Zelda things. I thought, you were definitely down for this.
Yeah. They released that on the Switch not too long ago, so if you see that on a sale, pick it up and get your practice in.
I mean, but my only thought would be, bearing in mind, kind of imagine a place that a lot of people play their Switch is going to be on their commute, where you might not be able to, perhaps, depending on your headphones, hear, or you might play it on mute on the tube. Obviously, you won't be able to do that.
It's the problem I've got at the moment, because... rhythm games keep coming down on sales, and I buy them, and then I go, oh yeah, I can't use my Bluetooth headphones on the Switch. I need to start walking around with two pairs of headphones when I want to use the Switch, because I rarely use it on my TV. So one day I'm going to sit... one day they'll make Bluetooth headphones for the Switch that have very low latency to them, and I'm going to have a great old time with these games.
And fun fact. Do you want a fun fact?
Go on then.
The official name of this game is Cadence of Hyrule, Crypt of the Necrodancer, featuring The Legend of Zelda.
That is, yeah, I can see why it's just been put down as Cadence of Hyrule in most places. That's a name and a half.
Isn't it?
That's like a Kingdom Hearts title.
Yep.
Yep.
You just need like Alpha over X or something at the end.
Well, no, it's some good stuff there, though, I thought. Mm.
Yeah, it was a good lineup, generally, I thought. Like, most of the games there I at least had a passing interest in and will check out. A lot of them I'll possibly pick up when they're a bit cheaper. But, yeah, there's a lot of good stuff, generally.
Depending on the price, I'm going for Cuphead. My friend Pedro, I think that's a day one for me. And Cadence of Hyrule.
Well, yeah, I'll go with the Vlambeer Arcade, definitely. Stranger Things 3 for me.
Yeah. Have you played any of the other ones?
Huh?
Have you played any of the other Stranger Things?
No,
games?
I haven't actually. They're all that style. Yeah, okay. So I might pick up one of the older ones, cheaper.
There you go.
But yeah, like there was a good few things in there that looked interesting and that I'll be keeping an eye on at least. So yeah, it was good.
I have points that need interesting. I certainly do, Sunshine.
I've got interest in your points.
Hey, yeah, you do.
Dan's favourite studio of all time, Quantic Dreams. They are bringing some new titles to the PC. I think you can already get Omicron, Nomad Soul, and what was the other one? Fahrenheit. I think they're already on PC through GOG.
Are these all the previous Sony exclusives?
Yeah, these were Sony exclusives. Heavy Rain, Beyond Two Souls, and Detroit Become Human will all be available on the PC this year through the Epic Game Store exclusively.
Oh, of course they bloody are.
Yeah.
Can I just say that I just know how there's going to be people extracting textures from those games. That's all I'm going to say.
Right, I think they're going to have to do some work on that Ellen Page model shower scene thing because they've already had a lawsuit over that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying anymore.
May just take out the scene entirely.
Quantic Dreams, exclusive to the Epic Games Store. There are more rumours on the discless Xbox One system. So apparently Windows Central, once again, they've reported that they've managed to get hold of product images of the upcoming console, and then they've remade them as they weren't good images in Photoshop as mock-ups. The images show that the console, it's virtually identical to the Xbox One S minus a disk drive and an eject button. And the images also show that the console will come with 1 terabyte hard drive plus codes for Sea of Thieves, Minecraft, and Forza Horizon 3.
How many times in seeing reports of this and generally in reading our agenda have I misread the word discless?
Several.
As dickless.
Yep. It also doesn't have one of those either.
No.
They've managed to, as a space and cost saving measure, managed to remove the fleshy penis that is the hallmark hallmark visual feature of the Xbox One.
If true, it's very surprising that they go, yeah, download Sea of Thieves, Minecraft, and Forza Horizon 3. Why not give out Xbox Game Pass subscriptions for like 6 months or something and go, which will give you Sea of Thieves, Minecraft, and Forza Horizon 4.
Or, indeed, I do. Because I know there are rumours of, and they're exploring this before a couple of years ago, I think, whether or not it just goes full subscription model, where it's a dumb box and it working and doing anything is entirely dependent on you having an active Xbox Game Pass subscription.
I don't think they'll go that far.
Another business model where they essentially give you the box for free, but then make the money on the Game Pass.
Maybe in future, but yeah, not for the discless Xbox One. Not for the discless Xbox One. of no interest to you two, but I'm astonished by this. Yet another Goku character is coming to Dragon Ball FighterZ.
How many Gokus is that now?
500.
It's got more than 30 characters.
All of them are Goku.
Yeah, 10 to 20% of them are Goku.
Oh, nice.
That
is ridiculous. So between 3 and 6 of them.
Yeah, so you've got like, it's Goku, it's Super Saiyan Goku, it's Super Saiyan Goku 2, it's Super Saiyan Goku God, it's Super Saiyan, like all these ridiculous versions of Goku. And now the latest one, it looks like the Goku, like the kid Goku from Dragon Ball Super and Dragon Ball GT, it looks like. Yeah, you two agree with me.
Yes.
Dragon Ball GT, what does that even mean?
Dragon Ball GT. Dragon Ball GT was the series that followed Dragon Ball Z.
Oh my god, that was a rhetorical question.
But it did. It had no input from the actual original creator, and a lot of fans hated it. So they retconned Dragon Ball. So that happens in the future, and then they made Dragon Ball Super, which now happens in between Z and GT, so everyone can still focus on the whole Dragon Ball Z stuff. I've gone cross-eyed. Anyway, and lastly,
I have a feeling it's not dissimilar to when Tim starts talking about menus.
Dragon Ball and wrestling. I could just go off on a tangent on those two things. One day I'll combine the two. So Disney.
You can wrestle week, some Dragon Balls.
I could wrestle some. I'll wrestle your Dragon Balls.
Disney, I have a question.
Yes.
If you play it on a dickless Xbox One, does it actually have Dragon Balls?
Yeah, just no. I mean, it's all veg and no meat. Really.
Oh, wow, that is that's an image, isn't it?
There you go. Disney put up on their career site this week that they are looking for roles to be filled for Lucasfilm Games. Now, if you remember, Lucasfilm Games was the name of LucasArts before it was called LucasArts, which that caused a lot of gaming websites to take that ball and run with it, and the internet to go ablaze for about 30 seconds, that LucasArts is rising from the ashes once to grab the license of Star Wars from EA and take it back in-house.
No.
Yeah, Disney have confirmed that that is not the case. Lucasfilms Games is a department that has existed since they bought Lucasfilm. They oversee the games that the other companies are working with and make sure that it's up to their standards.
Mm-hmm.
They also put in their statement that Disney as a whole is still focused on third-party license development and are still very committed in working with EA.
I mean, it has existed since 1982 in its various guises, but currently has less than 10 employees. So it's, it's a thing.
They're hiring more for those games that keep getting cancelled.
Yeah.
They need to oversee that they're getting cancelled correctly.
Exactly. Yeah, is that being cancelled? Like, really cancelled? Yes, good. Lovely. Marvellous. Or it might just be to manage IP of, ports of existing games. Goodness knows. I don't know, so I'm going to shut up.
Yeah, that's all the points of interest.
Excellent. My points were interested. Thank you.
That's all the news.
So
what with Tim being sick and me being moving house and without internet connection, I've played Trials and Red Dead because that's the only things I could play offline. Yeah. Dan is the only one who's been playing games, and I'm assuming you've been playing The Division 2, Dan?
Wouldn't it be great if I said no?
Okay. Right, we're all great. It's another Destiny 2 episode.
Well, that's do you know what? That is I could have completely trolled you. That would have been amazing. Oh, why didn't I do that? Oh, I should have done that anyway.
In your process.
So Tom Clancy's The Division 2 that isn't political in any way possible.
Yes, The Division 2.
Not political.
And it has got slammed for not being so.
Yes.
And I actually think it's good they steered away from that, personally. I mean, for a start...
Then they shouldn't have gone to Washington, but anyway.
Well, I might have wandered around the Oval Office for a bit. So it's pretty much a one-to-one map of Washington, D.C. Admittedly, things have gone a bit... So it's not like pristine, lovely Washington at the moment. It's like the setup is it's 6 months after the dollar flu, which hit all of America in the universe of The Division. And this is kind of like the aftermath of that pandemic. You know, what has happened to society? It's basically, long story short, completely dissolved. Everyone's killing each other. And, kind of any semblance of reasonable humanity is struggling to survive. So it's all about kind of the existing in a society where the normals are being completely destroyed and broken up. It's trying to, reestablish. The normal is trying to reestablish itself.
The second one is the rebuild.
Indeed.
A little bit Walking Dead-y.
No, I kind of
that was the impression I was getting from the preview stuff that we're checking out. Like in the modern, I'm still kind of watching The Walking Dead. In The Walking Dead at the moment, they're all like they're rebuilding society, and that's kind of what they focus on now. But some people aren't rebuilding society and they like going out and killing people and stuff. And that was kind of the impression I was getting from Division 2. There are your crazies out there, but overall we're trying to rebuild.
Yeah. I mean, on that aspect then, yeah, go on then. I'll let you have that. Now, it is, much like many things have been recently, a looter shooter. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, I found with the original Division, you know, kind of having a looter shooter that's full of really cool things to earn and to get and, you know, unique items. You know, there's something about...
Dogs to shoot.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. That kind of stuff existing in a world like Diablo or Destiny or the world that Anthem would like to be, but isn't. It would... You know, it's kind of that almost normal everyday existence. You know, it makes it feel a bit less magical, for want of a better word. But the Division 2, I mean, I haven't got to the end game yet. I mean, I've put about 25 hours in and I'm level 25. So, you know, a level an hour. And the end game really kicks in at level 30 after you've cleared the main missions.
I didn't think that was available to the summer.
Hmm?
End game.
End game. Yeah. Yeah, well done. Anyway, I haven't got to the end game yet, but from what I have heard, and I'll try to say spoiler free, they really do it right. Everything I've played so far, it's felt like I'm constantly progressing. The gameplay is amazingly well put together. It's a very varied world with excellent kind of different factions in it. The plot, it's a Tom Clancy plot. That's all I'm going to say.
Despite him being dead for more than 10 years.
I know, he has like a phoenix from the flames.
He's prolific.
You know, it is, you know, it's a Tom Clancy ass Tom Clancy story. That's all I'm going to say. There is a gruff guy who was never meant to be president, is president, and he thought he died in Air Force One, but actually he's been living like under a bin lid.
Is it Harrison Ford?
No, it could be if you squint. He's that kind of grizzled old bear of a man. It is genuinely a massively enjoyable game that keeps throwing new and exciting stuff at you. They've got the way that loot continues to unlock and escalate in how kind of interesting it is to play with. They've really got that down pat.
Really, I've heard criticisms of that being a bit too. Like, here's some slightly nicer knee pads was the general criticism I heard.
Yeah, I mean, I love like the Diablo series of games where I will look kind of at the small print of items and go, oh, well, that damage to elites plus that and then plus these set bonuses actually will make a massive difference to my character. And that's one of the things they embrace really early on is this idea of like kind of gear manufacturers. So, like, there are all kinds of manufacturers in the game, but, you know, certain, like, you can have your chest armor, knee armor, and your gloves from the same manufacturer, that will unlock kind of a tiered series of bonuses that's unique to that manufacturer. And, like, in the end game, apparently, like, armor sets are a real thing. They've done that really well, and they've done it in a way that's not overwhelming. All of your gear can be modded to tweak it even further, and it really does feel like you can craft your own truly unique agent, which was something that was missing, I think, from the Division 1, certainly at launch.
Can you get an armor set that makes you look like Tom Clancy? So you're basically walking around in his reanimated corpse,
Disappoint you with that.
Oh, that's a pity.
I know, right?
That's really making a statement.
Yeah, I mean...
It's not political, Coleman.
And I don't know whether or not it's just because Anthem spectacularly crashed and burned that, you know, frankly, that Anthem's existence makes any other looter shooter look good.
That's what happens when you put limited times on your jetpacks.
Yep, I know, right? But it is thematically similar to Apex Legends, which a lot of people are enjoying, so actually it's a 10 out of 10 game.
Oh, there you go.
That's yeah, right, sorted. So, yeah, I mean, it really does feel like it's come out the gate sprinting and not that, oh, we had to get it out the door and we'll finish it eventually, which so many games at the moment do. It genuinely, genuinely feels like a very well put together, polished, enjoyable product. It's best played with buddies. I have to say there are some pretty brutal difficulty spikes if you're playing solo.
Han Solo. Like Harrison Ford, the president.
Yes. Yeah. Him. Yes, why not? But yeah, so I mean, I've loved my time with it so far. I haven't got to the end game, I'll freely admit, but they've got a whole year of content on its way. And they've done actually something quite...
with actual locations on it.
And roads.
Yes. And like raids and stuff and new specializations, which is a whole other end game thing, which I haven't even touched on, where basically there's kind of several classes of character, like a sniper or a demolitions expert, and you can pick one of these specializations. Each of them have got like their own unique weapon sets, which is really cool. I'm quite looking forward to getting stuck into that. So there's three episodes throughout the year. The first one is called DC Outskirts Expedition, so unlocking more of the city for you to wander around. The next episode unlocks the Pentagon, and the third one is to yet to be announced. But the way that they're doing year one Wales. Content, what?
Sorry, I was hoping you just glossed past that.
I didn't hear what you said. What did you say?
The third one is Wales.
It's Wales. Yeah, it could be, couldn't it?
Bloody hell, that dollar flu got over here, didn't it?
The groat flu. The groat flu is what it would be. So, yeah, but the way they're doing the annual pass is, you know, great. I mean, if you've bought a Fancy Pants edition of the game, you've already got the annual pass, the year one pass bundled in with it. But all that purchasing the year one pass gets you is essentially just early access and a couple more character classes. Everyone will get access to all the additional areas that are opened up through the episodes.
Oh, that's cool.
I think that's a really good approach to it.
I like that.
So, I mean, Ubisoft, I mean, they had to learn some hard lessons with Division 1. Division 1 in places was not good, especially on release. They did turn things around eventually, but they've done a lot of learning from Division 1 and put all of that into Division 2, and my God, it shows.
I also think they've built a good reputation for supporting this type
yes,
of game.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, one of the things they have brought in, like raids I've already mentioned, and that's going to be an 8-player raid. And that was one of the things that was kind of slightly missing from the first Destiny. All they had these kind of like incursions. They were essentially just big kind of organ grinders of endless mobs of enemies that you just had to kind of grit your teeth and get through. Whereas already in the kind of the levels I've played through so far, there are some puzzle mechanics in there. And, you know, that's what a lot of people, when they think of a raid in a game like World of Warcraft or Destiny, those puzzle mechanics are needing to work together are kind of a core part of the experience. So, yeah, Division 2, great stuff. I mean, I'm probably hit the end game by this time next week, but wow, what a great game. Looks fantastic as well.
That's good. I pre-ordered and then my move got moved and I didn't know I was going to be without internet for a while, so I've been staring at the icon because it's all ready to go, but I've not been able to play it yet. So I'm really looking forward to getting into this.
Oh, mate, you're going to love it.
Pouring at the screen.
Absolutely yeah, love this.
It's kind of, I mean, if I wasn't a stickler for having fingerprints on screens, yeah, I probably would be pouring at it like a cat, just going, let me in.
I mean, the only thing I would say as well that I haven't had a chance that I'll need to feedback on next week is the Dark Zone is back. Apparently it's much less douchebaggery than before.
Mm. I hear there's multiple dark zones.
There are multiple dark zones with various tiers of allowed idiocy in it, or several degrees of being a sociopath are allowed in various bits of the dark zone. But for example, now if you're rogue, you can no longer essentially camp outside the spawn point because there's automated turrets that will instantly shred you if you do that.
Yeah, those scaffolding in the first game used to really annoy me with people hiding up there.
Yeah, so, I mean, I will have to do a bit of delving into the Dark Zone, but I hear that has been tweaked well.
Delve into the Dark Zone. So dodgy.
Why have I got hair stuck in between my teeth? I've been delving too much in the Dark Zone.
I don't like the Dark Zone. It smells.
Oh, what does it smell of, Coleman?
I don't want to say.
It smells of tooting.
It smells of tooting. And, yeah, wow, tooting. What does tooting smell like?
You don't want to know.
if you made a handbag out of a gorilla's ass and then left a hamburger in it for 3 weeks.
You didn't tan any of it.
Yeah.
Didn't treat any of the skin.
That's what it'll smell like. Mm. Sorry, denizens of Tooting, but I did work in you once. As in Tooting, not the dental. Well, technically, I did work at A&E, so some residents of Tooting... Never mind. We're going too far now. Let's change the subject.
I will base this on I once looked at a flat in Tooting, so, you know... Yeah, we should get to the end of the show now because Tim looks like he is literally about to die from the dollar flu himself.
All right, okay. So
doing that thing where you lay down and you put your hand on your forehead and you're like, oh, I got the vapor. You were earlier.
Were you wilting, Tim?
He was like, I do declare I got a case of the vapors.
So before Tim succumbs to consumption, tell us about Tuesday,
cold,
Tim.
I'm not dying. Right. Anyone doesn't know, each and every Tuesday we do an event called Tabletop Tuesday in the Loading Bar in Dalston. Each and every week we have a different feature game, and if you play that feature game that evening, you have a chance of winning a copy of the game. Last week was a bit special. We had a few extra games as well for Forbidden Sky and other bits and bobs. This week is extra special, and we've got a whole month of extra special stuff coming after that, so that should be really good. But this week's game is a game called Color Addict. It's a silly little children's game, basically. Really right. Easy to play. But as I've always maintained, the best kids' games make the best drunk people's games, and I think this will be no exception.
Oh, yeah. Have you ever played Busy Buzzy Bumblebees at a party? Mate, that's a night.
Double. Anyway, Color Addict should be fun. Also, I've got loads of extra prizes to give away this evening, on that evening, because I've got loads of sample copies of the game as well as a copy of the overall game to give away as well.
I'll tell you something, swing ball's not fun when you're drunk.
No. Anyone that doesn't know, you can win our feature game just by trying it out that evening. And as I said, I've got extra prizes this week for anyone that tries out the game as well. It should be a really good fun one to come along to. Anyone that doesn't know, there are more details on the top left-hand corner of bigredbarrel.com and available on our meetup group if you search for Tabletop Tuesday.
Meat.
Tasty meat. Tabletop Tuesday at the Loading Bar, London, Dalston, Color Addict on the 26th of March.
Nothing to do with meat.
Nothing to do. Not yet. Soon.
Soon. Good. My spam Good. Board game shall come into existence. my lunch and meat based card game.
Here's my new tabletop game. How much chorizo can you eat?
Why do you suddenly turn starters? Into Greg Wallace?
Bosh.
Wow.
Anyway. Base. I want a buttery biscuit base. And also on the 5th of April, as Friday the 5th of April, as we do on every Friday the 5th of April 2019, it is EGX Res Big Red Barrel UK live podcast with myself and Tim, who hopefully won't be dying at that point.
Hopefully.
I think there's enough time between now and then.
Yay,
and also other people on stage. And we will be talking about video games and talking over each other and mumbling and things.
And
we
generally
do on this
embarrassing
here show.
Yourselves. Yep,
just embarrassing ourselves. Just generally stuff we do on this here show, but doing it on a stage in front of people. Hopefully more than one person.
Oh, please let there
I've
be more
confirmed
than one
multiple people will be in the audience.
I imagine like this big live show kind of setting, and then we come on stage and like, who's ready to podcast? Mum's here. It should be a laugh. Come on down, and then as we're the last show of the night, I'm pretty sure we'll go for drinks after that, so that'll be good.
Straight to the pub.
You'll certainly need a bloody drink afterwards.
There is a lovely pub down the road, so come talk to us after and we'll show you where it is.
You know, that is stopping noticeably and consciously short of we'll get you a drink. It's like we'll point at the pub for you.
I've just realised, actually, no, the pub down the road is a terrible idea because it's always full of people from EGX Rest, so it's too crowded.
Hey-ho.
We'll think of something. Anyway,
We're going to go because Tim might die if we're not careful.
Oh, no.
Well, that's an inevitability anyway.
Oh, no.
Yes, well, we all are going to die, but before that, Tim, let's do some shout-outs just to keep your spirits up, shall we?
Keep spirits up, yeah.
So, from the Facebook, people of the Facebook, I'd like to say thank you to Freya Goddard and Ed Big Booty Daddy Price.
From Twitter, I'd like to thank Nelly, Richard Kirk, and Gabrielle.
Gabriel. And also DOD Back 3000. He likes a bit of the deek. And also Stingo.
Stingo!
Stingo!
Well, lodge and meat-based dick.
There's been quite a few discussions of on the Timstagram of some large purple dick.
Some large purple that, dick.
Quite a large purple dick on the Timstagram.
Good word, Jeff, Tim's large Instagram. Dick. What? Horrible images of Barney falling me in my head for
gotta
some
be
reason.
Be very careful. You've got to stick your dick up carefully. Make sure you've got no edges sticking out of the dick.
You never did the edges sticking out of the dick.
You want to shuffle that dick correctly, thoroughly.
I know,
best
right?
part of my day in some cases.
Hey.
You went there, Coleman.
My
you
accent's
went there.
Going of course he did. Place. I'm sorry.
Jesus. Anyway, we're going to go now.
World tour of accents.
We have done the shouty outies. Tim's feeling illy willy. I don't know.
What?
Yeah, you are. You've been a brave little soldier, Tim. You can go to sleep now.
What's ill?
Is he a dickless Xbox?
You're a doctor. You can't say these sorts of unclaimed.
Old dickless Hibs.
If you remove the deck from the box, then you got a dickless Xbox. You got a dickless Xbox.
Right, marvellous. Let's go away now. All right, so thank you ever so much for listening. Make sure you point your internet at www.bigredbarrel.com or frankly go to any social media site and just whack /bigredbarrel at the end of it and see what happens. Tell your friends. Tell them to download this here show. Who knows? Some of them might even enjoy it. And, you know, we're always humbled and to bring you a show and that you download us every week. And for that, we are very grateful. So, without further ado, I've been Dan.
I might have been Tim. I also might be alive next week.
What?
Maybe.
I just heard I might be...
He's mumbling and he looks like he's about 30 foot away from the microphone at this point. I have been Coleman. I'm going to go play nurse now.
Okay, you do that. Enjoy going back to the new Shay Coleman.
Yes, thank you. And I'm going to go spend my night editing the coughs and stuff out because Dick is really sick.
Alrighty, well, thanks ever so much for listening, dear peeps. And until next time, dear listeners, toodle bye.
Your ears are quite welcome for the podcasting goodness that you just heard. Why not roll on over to BigRedBarrel.com for more podcasts, news, reviews, and videos from the biggest, reddest site on the internet, BigRedBarrel.com.
You've never said peeps in your life.
I have said peeps. I've said peeps multiple times.
I've never heard you say peeps before.
It's because I was going to say listeners, and I was like, I'm going to say listeners again in a minute, so I need to find another word. It's an emergency. F*** it, let's go with peeps.
Let's go with peeps. Break out the peeps.